When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's canine educator. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope everyone is well, safe, and sane. That's something I've been saying. Just be safe and sane because people are losing their minds out there, people during the quarantine. But anyway, today we have a special guest, Sarah Carson. Sarah Carson and I have been talking for the last couple years. Sarah Carson is a dog trainer, and we've met, and I've met her dogs, and she's just great at what she does. She specializes in trick training, and you may have seen her on America's Got Talent and a bunch of other really exciting things that she has going on, and her story is very inspiring, and we talk about that and what she's done, and as well as just how to build a business with dogs and how hard it is and the path that she chose and just going over that. And so I appreciate Sarah coming on and telling us what she's got going on and her story. So you guys, also I wanted to say thank you to my friends over at Dogtra for sponsoring this podcast. Dogtra is my only e-collar that I'll be using and that I use on my YouTube channel as well as talk about here. And you guys can go and visit all Dogtra's fine remote collars and electronic training devices for your dog. They have multiple different things that you can do to help your dog's communication, relationship, and training. You can find that at dogtra.com. And of course, you can get 10% off your entire order by just entering NBD at checkout. 10% off your entire order, which is pretty cool. Thanks, Dogtra. And let's get into the conversation with Sarah and I.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm driving.
Whereabouts are you?
I think I'm trying to get out of New Mexico, so I'm almost to Texas.
Oh, cool. Cool. Why don't you just open up with just telling people who you are and what you do and all that fun stuff.
All right. My name is Sarah Carson. I guess it's now Sarah Carson Divine. I'm a dog trainer. I now live in California. I'm originally from Canada. I started training just regular pet dogs, went into dog agility for many, many years, and then I fell in love with trick training. So I now have several trick dogs. I have 5 border collies. They are all named after superheroes. I have Hero, Marvel. I used to have a Loki. He sadly passed away from an autoimmune disease. I have a Groot, a Hawkeye, and a Fury. So they're all very,
cool.
Very super.
That's super cool. Cool. So Sarah, you know, one thing that I know that I want to, that I'm very fascinated in, I know that other people will be too. And on this podcast, it's like we have a lot of people who professionally train dogs as well as just people who love dogs or have dogs. So I think your story is super fascinating. In the dog world, you know, as you know, it's one of those things that it's so extremely saturated with so much stuff, and there's always so many different things going on in the dog world, and it's hard to break through and become successful and make a living off of working with dogs. And I think that you've done a really good job at doing that, and I'd like to know personally, because I don't really know your entire story. I know that we've met and we've talked a little bit about what you had going on and what you were doing the past years, but do you want to just start with how you got into dogs and what age and why you started working with dogs originally and what started that?
Sure. So I was about 11 or 12 when my family got a Cocker Spaniel puppy. I knew nothing about dogs at the time, but I had zero friends, zero social life. And I thought my dog was pretty cool. So I started watching YouTube videos, and I actually found Kiko Pup. I think her name's Emily. And then I found Zach George. And I literally watched all their videos religiously, learned how to teach my dog how to sit, which was like the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
And then I went into, like I said, agility, frisbee, lots and lots of tricks, and thought that it was really fun. And I really enjoyed watching like my dog go from absolutely knowing zero to being a really good dog. When I was 15 years old, I opened up my own dog training business, and I started taking on a whole bunch of different clients that went from 2 people a month to 40 a month.
This was in Canada at the time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. In Canada, there was only probably one other dog training facility in my little town.
and they probably weren't 15.
No, they were not 15. And people would show up to the doggy daycare that I was renting and they'd be like, "So where's Sarah? Yeah,
where's your mom?"
Like, well, yeah, that's me. So I ran my own dog training facility. And honestly, I did it because I wanted to work with more dogs and my family hated dogs. So I wanted to get my hands on more dogs and just learn how to train better. And thankfully I found the opportunity to do that by renting a doggy daycare facility off hours. And so I did that for 5 years and I grew my knowledge and thought that I was like really smart for a 15-year-old. Sure. And then I actually got the opportunity to move to the United States to work with my border collie and do like live performances. And I decided to adopt another dog and I got Marvel and she was off Craigslist and I was aware of her dog biting past. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was like, oh, that's nothing. She just needs a job. And that definitely opened my eyes to include cookies. I've gone from like never ever saying no to a dog to being like, dogs need structure and they need guidance and I need to tell them what to do.
Yeah, definitely.
So I got like the whole package deal from the time I was 12 to the time that I'm 25 now. So it's definitely, my journey has definitely been very eye-opening and I'm glad that I was able to grow and be accepting of the new things that I was learning.
Yeah, and it's cool too because, you know, like I said, the dog training world is so saturated and to break out and to not only get to make a living off of working with dogs, but to be able to travel and appear on different networks and things like that is something that's, you know, it's a really accomplishing thing and it's not easy to do. And I would say very, very, very few. I mean, compared to as many people are working with dogs in the professional world, there's an extraordinary limited amount of people that actually break through to that level. And so it's really cool. And I love watching your journey and seeing what you're doing and everything. And so after your transition to the United States, you were kind of like on have you been just like touring with like a production company to put on like shows and stuff?
Yeah. So we did a lot of theater tours. We did a lot of halftime shows, basketball, football.
Right.
And then we still did birthday parties and like just tinier things. And then I got more into, again, teaching people again. So I did a lot of workshops, just trick dog stuff, nothing too crazy. And then America's Got Talent reached out. Oh man, let's see, maybe 2015.
Yeah.
They reached out 2015 and they literally a different person was reaching out to me every single month. And I was like, hey, like I can't, you need to have like a specific work visa to do this. I don't have that specific visa. I can't go. And then in 2017, they reached out and I had the visa that they required. So I was like, all right, let's give it a try. And let me tell you, everything happens for a reason. I only had two dogs at the time. One of them was a total bitch, so I was not ready to put her on TV.
Yep.
And then I got this amazing little dog, Loki, who by the time he was a year old, he was a finalist on America's Got Talent. So it was definitely, I could not have done it without that dog. Yes, Hero is incredible, but going on America's Got Talent, you have to make each routine new and bigger and better. And the fact that I started out with one dog and ended it with three, I think was a huge advantage for me.
Yeah, and that's about the time that you and I met up when you were on your tour. And I think actually what happened is one of your dogs, maybe I don't know who it was, maybe Loki.
It was Loki. Yeah.
Yeah, jumped off something, and you were in my area, and I linked you up with one of my local vets, and I remember.
We're in the middle of doing a theater, and I potted my dogs, and my dogs are like trained, so he was off leash, and there was no birds. There was no butterflies. I have no freaking idea what he saw, but he jumped off of a 30-foot retaining wall and fell 30 feet down, thankfully on grass. And he performed 5 minutes later because he was fine, but I wanted to get x-rays and wanted to make sure. So yeah, I'm super thankful that you were there. Because I was just like so flustered. Yeah, like, oh my God, my dog.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I remember the conversation. I think you were pretty flustered. You're like, I don't know what to do. I think he needs x-rays. And like, you know, one of my clients was the vet over there. So that was cool. But anyway, I remember us having that conversation like at the coffee shop talking about going on America's Got Talent before you went on, and that was a pretty exciting time. That's pretty cool. And I remember seeing going through that process. I don't have like cable, so I didn't get to watch like a lot of it, but it's pretty cool. Like I said, it's just so cool to see somebody in the dog world do it on their own and go out, and you know, a lot of people don't see and realize how much work goes into. It's not like you were sitting on your ass and doing trick training with your dogs in your backyard and you posted some on social media. You've been busting your butt. You started your own business when you were 15, and like you said, there's a lot of serendipitous things that happen for a reason, and you don't get lined up like that for out of the blue. I mean, things like that constantly, like it doesn't matter what you believe in and whatever, it really just, if you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, opportunities will happen. And I couldn't imagine being at an age where America's Got Talent was reaching out and you had to decline. I mean, that's like a really crappy thing, but like you said, I mean, it was a different place and you accepted the opportunity when it was when it was the right time for you, and you made it work, which is really, really cool.
Like you said, it didn't just happen because I was just sitting around playing with my dog. Like
exactly
when I got Hero, I was 16 when I got Hero, and oh God, it was like what, 10 months after I got him, we were on David Letterman.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where I saw the ad for it. I contacted them. They're like, we need a trick that we've never seen before. I was like, well, what happens if I taught my dog to blow bubbles? He'd be like, well, I'd have you on the show. So for 6 months, I trained him to bark and blow bubbles through a bubble wand.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things that if you really want it, you got to put the work in.
Yeah. And that's it. And there's, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I can see that in you. Like I don't resonate with a lot of people as far as like work ethic and getting out there and just getting shit done and putting your head down and just, you know, going for it and not caring about anything else. And it's really, really comes through with you. And that's why it's great to just see what you're doing. And I think too, in the dog world, it's also a thing where it's kind of a newer thing, where back in the day, dog training was, you know, Margaret down the road gets off of work and she kind of knows about dogs and you can bring your dog over to her and she'll kind of help you with some stuff. And so there's new boundaries and there's constantly evolving opportunities in the dog industry mainly because of social media, you know, the opportunity to get exposure, and because of marketing now, everybody wants, like, I remember I think I sent you the picture, and if I didn't, I probably still have it, but I was running in Kansas City downtown, like a morning run, and then I saw a picture of you on like a bank ad, and I ran by and I stopped. I'm like, wait a minute. And I like back, did I ever send you that picture or no?
No, you didn't. It's my Arvest campaign though. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I was like, wait, what's happening? I was like, what is that? So it's just so cool. And that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast to just discuss that, because I know there's so many hungry, well, there's so many people who want to be a professional dog, whatever, groomer, trainer, whatever. And people don't realize that, like I said in the beginning of our conversation, that the dog world is insanely oversaturated. I would say there's probably, in a small town, there's probably four different dog businesses. In a big city, there's probably 20 or more.
Yeah.
And to break through and to be internationally or just United States known, Canadian known, whatever, is really, really big. It's a huge thing that not many people get to do, to be able to to share your experiences and everything like that. And, you know, and of course, like with that comes a bunch of things that you don't ask for, and it's tough. And I know that and I know that, you know, I follow you on social media, on Instagram and stuff, and I know you deal with a lot of rude people and people just being mean because they can. And the hard thing with anybody saying anything negatively about you as a person is also combining your passion in with that too, I think really sucks, because you know, you as a, like I said, anybody, it could be a chef or it could be anything really, somebody who makes bracelets or something, it doesn't matter. But if your passion is doing that and somebody's telling you that it's not good enough or you're not doing it right or something, it's really daunting. And I think it plays a huge role on and everything. So that's why, you know, I want to talk to you about the process of what it was like to have the other varial be a dog in this situation, because in most cases, like Dancing with the Stars or somebody who's out there on America's Got Talent has a variable that's either themselves, so they know their capacity, or they have a partner or a team that are all different humans. You know what I mean? That you can say, hey, stop being an idiot and do it this way. Where with dogs and animals, I think you definitely have a disadvantage to that aspect, because you have to, obviously you are great with dogs and your communication, your relationship with your dogs is fantastic, clearly. However, what was the learning curve on that? Because I was thinking that too when you were going through that. I'm like, man, you have to like drop everything. I don't know if you slept, but I probably wouldn't be sleeping, because when I'm on like this turn of like events of getting something new and going, I just don't, I'm obsessed. I become obsessive.
Yeah. So I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
I
what was that like?
I lost a ton of weight. Yeah. No, it's definitely like going back to what you said at the very beginning, like I didn't just wake up one morning and do America's Got Talent.
Right. You're there for a reason.
Yeah. Hero speaks English. Right. He is a one in a million dog. He has a vocabulary that I've never seen. And even like Loki was just extremely special in that aspect. Marvel, we still struggle. But with Hero, like if he would mess up, I could look at him and be like, no, like do it again.
Yeah.
And the next time he would do it. It was just one of those things where we had that really good communication and bond that we could have like an adult conversation. It wasn't like a toddler. He was on the same level as me. The biggest challenge with America's Got Talent is that, like you said, a singer has their voice. I have dogs.
Yeah.
They gave singers 2 weeks and they gave me 4 days.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like when I went back for Champions last January, I went back for Champions and they gave me 2 weeks.
Yeah, and they said you have
people that were on there had months.
Right, and you have to shock the world. Or just don't come or something. You know, it's like, it's such an ultimatum that.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean.
We actually, long story short, because I just got my green card, so I'm now a legal resident of the United States, but I was contacted just before I got it. Thank you. It was a struggle.
Sure. Yeah. That's a big deal for sure.
Yeah. Just before I got the card, and we knew this, if I left the country, I could not come back. Mm-hmm. And Britain's Got Talent reached out to me and they're like, hey, we're doing our Britain's Got Talent Champions and we want you to come. Mm. And I was like, I had that this is 2 weeks away. Again, I don't know what it's with 2 weeks, but they gave me like 2 weeks notice. And my husband now, we're like, do we take this risk? And we're like, hell yeah, we take this risk.
Yeah.
So I started to make my routine and do all the things. And then ultimately the vet was like, we can't do this in 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, now that I can't change.
Right.
But like, we were ready to take that risk and take that like opportunity to just go out there and do it, when most people would be like, hell no, I'm not taking that risk.
Yeah,
like, no,
that's what it takes. And I think, you know, that's why that's why I was like sitting there talking. I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, one thing I don't want on like my podcast and anything that I do is just like, I don't want to talk to somebody that I'm not interested in and that I don't like find some sort of appealing, like, wow, this isn't really interesting. And I've had like two of those where I've worked with people on my podcast and it's just kind of like, I thought it was going to be interesting and it's not. And that's why I really wanted to talk with you. Just kind of hit a light bulb. And that's so interesting. And I think too, people don't realize the amount of sacrifices that you have to make in order to get to the point that where you're at in any level. It doesn't have to be with dogs, but you know, I met John, your husband, at SHOT Show, and he's a great dude. That's the first time I met him. Really cool dude. Got to talk to him for a little bit, and just having that support from somebody to just be like, yeah, go and do it. And I know like my girlfriend Taylor's the same way. She has, I mean, she sacrificed her entire life to help me get to where I'm at and support me. And if it means just, you know, getting you a coffee when you're about to fall asleep and you have so much to do, or, you know, taking those flights that you don't necessarily want to take at that time and things like that. So that's another big thing in success and getting to a new level is just the support system that you have and things like that. Were your family supportive and still current, or before, are they supportive of what you were doing at the time when you decided to work with dogs professionally? Because that's something that's like, you know, like I remember when I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to work with dogs. She's like, actually, to be completely honest, which is quite hysterical, up until about two years ago, my mom was asking me when I was going to get like a job. She's like, all right, like this is like, are you done yet? And I'm like, what? I have like 10 employees and like, I'm, you know, and so like, what kind of support were you dealing with when you decided to make the decision to work with dogs, and how challenging was that when you were in that like process?
Yeah. So at the very beginning, when I went to start my own dog training, I don't want to call it a facility because I was renting somebody's space. But when I started that, I was originally doing it in my backyard. And then my stepdad and my mom were like, well, you'll have to pay rent if you want to do that. I'm 15 years old.
Yep.
So I was like, well, and I'm not doing that here. But yeah, they did not support me whatsoever. They made fun of me on a daily basis.
Right, right.
My stepdad would call it like, oh, you're going to go to clown college to become a dog trainer?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm just going to be a self-taught amazing dog trainer because you can do that.
Yeah.
But
they
constantly were on me about it. And then when I moved out, I got Hero, and my dad was a little more supportive. He comes from a military background. So he's like, he's pretty chill about it. And then my grandma was the one that would really like take me to competition, mm-hmm. take me to shows.
That's good.
She was always there, but yeah, after I got Hero, I haven't spoken to my mom and my stepdad's side of the family. Hero's going to be 8, so I haven't spoken to them in 8 years.
Wow.
And
that's just because of the lack of support, you think, or?
It's a lot. Like, they wanted me to be something that I was not. They wanted me to have a boyfriend at a young age. They wanted me to go out drinking, and I didn't start dating until I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Like, I was not that person. When I was in high school, I was running a business. I was working retail, and I was actually going to college during high school to get a graphic design degree. So I was not the person they wanted me to be. And I truly believe, like, I wouldn't have a degree right now, and I wouldn't have I wouldn't have Hero right now if I didn't make the hard decision to leave that toxic environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, like you said, is like everything happens for a reason, and getting that happens, you have to weed out that type of thing. And I can relate to that a little bit. I mean, like I said, like, my dad was always super supportive, but he doesn't live around here. And like I said, my mom, like, up until like 2 years ago when I started, you know, kind of paying her bills, you know, it was kind of like telling me to go out and get a job. And I mean, it was all in good fun. It's just like, you know, a different era, you know. It's like okay, go to college because I want you to succeed. It wasn't anything of like non-supportive. It's just like, and that's what I was talking about earlier, is like, dog training now, I think, like, kids now, society today, like, teenagers now and kids now can look up to somebody like yourself to be like, you know, I can be something. I can be a professional dog trainer, actually. And people do it, and they make a living on it, and they're happy. And I think that's what matters. It's not, you know, monetary value. It's like, that person is paying their bills and are happy working with animals. And that's sometimes what life's about. And so anyway, so like, back then, you know, same thing with you. I mean, I'm a little older than you, but same kind of age bracket where, you know, our parents probably a little bit more traditional on making sure you go to college and getting the degree.
Yep.
But then it's like having $250,000 of debt and not really liking, not really liking what you do, and working for somebody else is not really that appealing to me. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Now, my dad was supportive, and then he was like, you still have to go to college.
Right. Like, okay. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, wait, come on, you know? So
yeah,
it's a tough thing. But I think also too, going back to like relatability on your, like, your start is like, having the opportunity to start at that early age is really crucial, because I find like a lot of people who reach out to me, like, I think the biggest question that I get via social media and anything else actually is like, how did you start? And whatever, because a lot of people find themselves to like have this appeal to dogs at a later age. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I want to work with dogs. And it's so, people don't realize like how hard it is to make a buck actually doing that and being like humane about it and being like, yeah, being true to yourself and being authentic to your passion of working with animals. Cause I've worked, and I'm sure, actually I know, you know, you've worked with probably different companies that were in the benefit of making a profit instead of the benefit of your dogs or yourself. And, yeah, and that happens a lot too, but that's like one of the biggest questions I get is people that are well off into their adult years that aren't 15 or like me when I was a teenager too, started professionally working with dogs. You have an advantage because you don't have a significant other, you don't have a family, you don't really have bills, except for your case, you almost did have bills, pay rent, but, but you know what I mean? It's so, a lot of people always ask me that question of like, man, like I want to be able to do that. And it's like, yeah, but you have to, you know, same thing with you. You have to work at least 7 to 10 years before you actually start gaining ground and actually, and I think that's with any, I don't want to say with any business, because I think people take advantage of the market sometimes and get in when it's hot and they can become pretty successful pretty quick. But I think in some businesses like the dog industry, like I said, unless you're a personality first and a dog person second, which happens a lot in the industry, where they find a personality that's good in front of a camera that can relate to people, and then they say, oh, by the way, we want you to do this. I think it's really hard, and I think a lot of people don't realize that you can't just drop every, well, you can, I guess, just drop everything and start a business, but there's so much more that goes into it that people don't realize, and the backstory is crucial. So anyway, so after the America's Got Talent, that was what, like your first appearance on that was a couple of years ago?
Yeah, 2017, yeah.
Yeah. And then now, so what are you up to now? I know that you have, first of all, let me tell you something. This is funny. So David Dobrik, right?
Oh yeah.
I literally had no idea who that person was until you posted a picture with him. And I watched every single one of that kid's vlogs for like 3 weeks. And I was like, it was so funny because so many people, like obviously he's insanely popular and famous and whatever. And I literally, I'm like, I've seen him, but I didn't know what or who he was. And then when I saw a picture, I think of Hero and him, and he posted it. And I was like, who is this guy? I see him like everywhere. And then I watched like literally every single vlog that he has. And
that's really funny.
It's so funny because, like, obviously that would have been the opposite. They're like, oh, who's that dog, you know, with David Dobrik?
Yeah.
And I was the opposite. I was like, who's that person with Hero? So anyway, how did something like that come about? Like when you get somebody like, you know, David Dobrik, who, you know, is insanely popular internationally. You know, he's a vlogger on YouTube, for those of you who don't know. And I didn't know until Sarah posted him. So how did something
that happen? No, honestly, I think it's the advantage of me living in Los Angeles.
Right. Yeah. Huge.
I get DMs and I think they're fake. I'm like, what? This is what? Yeah. And he likes to communicate in voice messages, which is even funnier because you're like, okay, so it has to be you. He was looking for a dog that could play basketball. And I was like, so my dog can do everything except for that. So he still had me come over to his house and we shot a couple fun tricks. And I am looking forward to it because he'll be coming over to our ranch to get bit by some dogs soon. So that'll be fun.
That'll be cool.
But yeah, honestly, like even like the Brent Traveras guy, he has like millions and millions of followers. And he just reached out and was like, hey. And I was like, hey. Yeah. Literally started with hey. He's like, hey, can you bring your dog over and like do some tricks? I was like, sure.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Yeah, that's cool. That's really, really cool. And I love seeing that like organic stuff. And that's something that like I struggle with so bad with being in upstate New York is I've turned down so many opportunities.
Yeah.
And I'm just like logistically, and even with like working with clients, they're like, hey, you're really good. I want to continue to work with you. Can you live here for a month? I'm like, no. You know, so that's really, really, really cool. And that was just so funny because I forgot about that. I wrote it down in my notes. I wanted to tell you about that I had no idea who that person was.
That's funny.
I know, until you posted it. I'm like, oh, cool. So anyway, I got to watch countless hours of his content. So that was good.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's so funny. So, okay, so after America's Got Talent, so what are you up to now? I know you have that, and then you did, now you have your own app. Was it Pupper School?
Short is just Pupper, but yeah, Pupper School has been around. We released it the day that my audition for America's Got Talent released.
Perfect.
Yeah, and it's doing fairly well. We're constantly adding new content.
So what is it exactly?
So Pupper is a free dog training app that you can download on your smartphone. It's on iOS and Android, and it pretty much is, I want to say, a trick training app, but it has developed into a much broader thing. If you just got a dog from a shelter or from a breeder, you can literally go on the app, subscribe, and have 24-hour care. One of my trainers just told me that she was helping somebody at 2:30 in the morning with a new puppy that she just brought home, and she lived in an apartment, and she's like, this puppy just screams, I don't know what to do, and then by the end of it, the puppy is an amazingly, quiet, crate-trained dog. And it's thanks to Pupper because she had nobody else at 2:30 in the morning.
So it's like interactive too. It's not just visuals. It's interactive with a trainer.
Yeah, you can, and then you can also keep track of your dog's progress. You can earn badges.
That's cool. That's fun.
It's super fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. And is it free or do you pay monthly or how does that work if people are interested in that?
Yeah. So it's free. It's completely free to download. You get a couple packs for free upon download. And then every trick or lesson pack is what we call them. I'm pretty sure it's $2.99. I get very confused because in Canada it's a different price.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, it's pretty much the price of a coffee, really. And then the subscription is $9.99 a month, or I think it's $98 for the year. And that unlocks everything.
That's cool. So you can pay yearly and just kind of get the whole caboodle.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. I saw that. That's cool. That I think that the market definitely needs that. So that's cool that you're actually, you know what you're doing. You're putting that work in instead of somebody sitting in LA thinking all right, how can we make money off of these dog owners? Which is, you got to make a living. I don't want you to not make money, but it's good that, at least there's talent behind it and putting together these programs. And that's cool. So you have the app going right now. You're traveling somewhere. And what sucks is I saw your entire workshops got canceled. That sucks. I was actually thinking about that right when you took off, because I only booked two seminars this year, and I'm canceling both of them. And I was like, man, I only had two. And Sarah, you had how many did you have that you had to complete?
11.
Yeah. And that's a big part of, people don't realize, that's a big part of your yearly counting on, okay, this is going to be a big part of my career this year, and you have to completely, it's devastating for a lot of people to have to do stuff like that. What did you do?
It was a huge blow, and I was already in Michigan when it got canceled.
Right. You were out.
I drove all the way across the country, and it got canceled when I got there.
See, that's,
sucks. It was really, really bad.
Yeah, that sucks. I felt terrible because, and I had and it sucks because a couple other of my friends were, they're in different states, and they were kind of rubbing it off it's not a big deal. And I'm like, I hope it's not. But, and then I was just thinking about how you, cause I remember you were either doing the first one or you were on to the second one or something. And then everything canceled.
Yes.
That sucks.
Yeah. And I tried my hardest not to cancel. I pretty much left it on the host to decide.
Right. Yeah.
Cause I didn't want to be the bearer of bad news type thing. And I was already across the country. I was already here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sucks because that was a 7-week tour. It was a very large portion of my yearly income that got lost.
Sure.
But every single event that I had I had booked this year got canceled.
That
everything
sucks.
All the way out until October.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. I mean, this whole thing. But you know what? The only positive thing I would say with the COVID thing, besides getting to know yourself a little bit better and things like that, all the personal stuff. But I think one of the biggest things that I've found that's helping me cope with this, because you and me are very similarly work ethic based, where we're we gotta go. And when you can't reach those doors that you want to reach and open, it's really daunting on your mental state of mind, because I'm the type of person, and I believe you are too, that you need progression in your life to continue to just keep rolling. It's not sit back and relax, and it's let's go. What can I do next? And and many people are like that, but it's really hard for us because that's what we thrive on. And I think that that's what keeps us motivated and sane. For me anyway, it's like so the good thing is I've been able to really double down on some of my creative stuff, like online, being able to, you know, get better at photography or get better at editing or something like that. So it's given me an opportunity to reflect and get better at little things that I didn't ever have time for that I do now. So,
yeah.
And that's cool. And then I think everything else is just that everybody else is dealing with the same thing. It's not just you is also like a really saving grace in this whole situation. Cause that, you know, cause I'm thinking like, oh, I gotta, you know, this is, and it's like, well, everyone else is in the same boat. So that helps.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So what are you up to right now? You're headed towards Texas and,
Yeah, right now I'm driving to Atlanta just to drop off two dogs that were boarding and training with us.
Oh, okay.
Because one of them is 13 and a half and we just don't want him to die in our care.
Jeez,
so man. If his owner is home doing nothing, she can take him back.
Yeah.
But she'll bring them back, at the end of the year when she has all of her stuff back. But yeah, I mean, I did not want to be driving across the country right now, but I'd rather him be with his owners.
Yeah. 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 That's a tough, it sucks to travel right now. Cause like everything's closed and people are weird and it's a tough time. And then also too, I saw that you did some training for Caesar, training one of his show dogs doing tricks. Is that what happened?
Sophia's just his pet. She's a rescue from Puerto Rico. I already told him that I would take her.
she seems
amazing.
Yeah, she seems cool.
Yeah, if you would have told 11-year-old me that I'd be training Cesar Millan's dog, I would have laughed in your face. But
right. Yeah, that's
I got that phone call, and I thought that I was being catfished or something. I was like, yeah, sure. I'll go pick the dog up. And I literally had to text him and be like, so what's the address? And he just sends me the Google link to the dog psychology center. And I was like, okay, so yeah, I'm totally being catfish. This is not
FaceTime me. It's like, let me.
Oh my God. Yeah. I showed up and I was a nervous wreck and he was the nicest dude. Yeah. It was really, really fun. And I'm going to get Sophia back when this whole pandemic is over. I was supposed to have her now. But I totally understand the social distancing things going on.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, that's cool. That's a good opportunity, and that's really cool. I have a lot of friends that work with Caesar often, and they all say the same thing. He's a super cool dude. That's awesome. So, and then also you and your husband, you guys do board and train stuff at your facility as well. So I know John does, he does everything, like he does behavior, and he does, what other stuff do you guys offer at your kind of compound?
Yeah, so John owns Divine Canines, and he normally specializes in personal protection dogs. We're dabbling in service dogs. We're helping just like private clients right now. We do just regular board and trains. Your dog jumps on you, mm-hmm. just like place work, just easy stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we do some behavior mod. And then, yeah, we specialize in our LA clients. But like I said, I'm driving these dogs back. She delivered them, but I decided I'll drive them back. We take clients all over the states. Some dogs fly in, some get driven. It's a whole bunch of stuff going on at
a
ranch.
That's cool. That's awesome. So is it you and John, or how many other people that you guys have to help out with the dogs?
Yeah, so it's us, and then we have two interns currently. We will potentially be hiring them, and if we don't, then we'll just get another bunch of interns and potentially hire them. We try and grow the team as good as we can. And yeah,
That's cool.
It's growing. We're hopefully we're working on getting a bigger property. Right now we have 3 acres. We want 10. Mm-hmm. So we're probably going to be purchasing in Santa Clarita, which is closer to LA.
Nice.
And I'm trying to convince him to let me get sheep because I'm very much into herding right
now.
Yeah,
I was gonna ask you about that. How cool is that? Because that's something that some of the dogs that I've worked with Behavior Mod, I've been wanting to just, you know, the cattle dogs and stuff. I'm like, okay, well, you have a border collie and it sits in the crate. So let's try this. It's something I've always wanted to do. How cool is that to just watch those dogs go out and do that stuff?
It's awesome. And I've actually seen firsthand how it can affect dogs. Because one of my boarding dogs, he just comes to me to do sports. So we do dock diving, we do agility, we do frisbee. Mm-hmm. And I took him with me to do herding. And sorry, Bandit also bites people. So we took him to do herding. And the first thing that he did was get pet by every single person there. And he was totally chill with it. Because he just got to work sheep.
Yeah, so it was after he worked?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
So
and then
big.
One of our interns has a border collie that also nips, I wouldn't say bites, nips at people. Mm. And same thing. We took him there. He did some herding, and then every single person was able to greet him, or he decided to go up to them and say hi. It's incredible to just watch them do what they're instinctually supposed to do, and then just be totally chill with themselves.
It's so rewarding. It's something I am envious of. I never really get an opportunity to do that as much as I need to or want to. It's always just like, you know, and dog training is tough because people bring you their dogs and they're like, hey, fix all of this.
Fix it.
And, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah. Well, there's, you know, there's just so much more. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, that, you know, as a dog trainer, your job, I tell people all the time that I'm in the people business. I'm really not in the dog business because, you know, the more I work with dogs, the more I realize how bad people are. And so my time, and it's been really nice. I mean, honestly, I'm really, really, really grateful to be able to work from home, and be, you know, be happy doing that, because it's, my onlines are like so busy because everyone's stuck at home with their dogs and they're like,
yeah, that's true.
They're like, oh my gosh. So I've been doing like 4 or 5 onlines a day from all over the world. And the majority of the conversations I have are so helpful to people. It just opens up their eyes. They're like, you know, and I'm like, how much do you walk your dog? And they're like, well, they got a big backyard. And I'm like, yeah, but they need a little bit more than that. So it's actually really, really cool to change my business model a little bit, but also see the same or similar results just talking to people, because they are the key to, you know, they're in their own way, as you know. And so,
totally.
So the online training has been extremely helpful and helpful to dogs too, which is really, really cool. So
that's
cool.
Awesome.
So do you have anything else going on? I know that we kind of like went through your life and everything, and your app and all the great things that you're doing. Is there anything else that you have coming up or that you have going on?
I'm not sure if your audience is interested, but Hero filmed a children's movie.
Cool.
I know I'll watch it because my dog's in it.
Yeah, of course.
But we filmed it actually almost 2 years ago now. And so they're still trying to sell it off and get it posted somewhere. But it was it was fun. We did it with Jake Paul and Laura. I can't even think of her last name right now. She's a Disney star. It was a really, really fun thing that I got to do, because I've always wanted to have Hero do something like that. It was really cool.
That is a cool experience, because you can treasure that forever and those memories. That's really, really cool. We have to what I want to do is try to maybe get John on here. I just, that kind of clicked to me too. I'd like to talk to him about all of his adventures and his start and how he got into
stuff. Has a whole slew of stories.
I'm sure he does. From the little time I spent with him, it was there was a lot going on and a lot of different things. So maybe we can have him on in the future. But anyway, so I'll let you get back to your road trip, and I certainly appreciate you hopping on and telling people about your story, and I know that it's motivational and inspiring to me, and I know it will be to other people, so I appreciate you spending time to tell me about it. And what I'd like to do maybe in the future is, once this stuff is over, I know that you and I have tried to connect before when I was in California, and I just never had the time, but next time I'm in California, we should just etch out a couple of days where we can hang out and
definitely
work some dogs. I'd love to see your property too, because I like that, like, the most, that's like the best, to just have like a couple acres, little ranch to just hang out in and let dogs be dogs. That would be really enjoying. That'd be cool.
Definitely. Let me know.
Yeah, for sure. And then if you just want to plug away and tell people where to find you on socials, so they can, if they don't follow you already, where they can see you and find you.
Sure. Yeah. If anybody wants to follow our crazy adventures, they can just find me at The Super Collies. It's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it. It's just The Super Collies.
Do you have a YouTube channel, by the way?
I do. I think I have like 13,000 followers. I just don't post. It's bad.
Oh, it's okay. I was
all
curious
about YouTube when I was little, and I just, never got into it.
Okay. So Instagram at Super Collies, and then your personal handle is at The Super Collies
Mom? Yeah, the Super Collies Mom. So creative.
No, it works. It's great. All right, Sarah, well, you have a absolutely wonderful day. Stay safe. And like I said, once I had a couple of trips planned for California this year, and I'll reschedule them hopefully for this year, and I'll reach out, and hopefully we can link up and hang out.
Sounds good. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, guys, that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Thank you, Sarah, for jumping on here and spending the time to chat with me about your dogs and your story. I appreciate it. We'll probably do this again maybe in the future with Sarah, because she's always got new and exciting things going on. It's always nice to talk to other dog trainers in the industry. So thanks, Sarah, for coming on. Thank you to our friends at Dogtra for sponsoring this podcast. Again, you can find all Dogtra's equipment on Dogtra.com and use the discount code NBD10 for 10% off your entire purchase. I appreciate you guys. Don't forget, leave a rating on this podcast. Follow me on Instagram at Tom Davis or my business at Upstate Canine Academy. Take a screenshot of this and share it on Instagram and tag me. I'd love to see where you guys are from, and I repost it on my story. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate it. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.